woke up after midnight. Both my neck and arms were sore.
I was telling Dr. Most, I don't even know where I was. I was in a, maybe picking up some dry cleaning or something. Lip, and the actual song, this song is, you know, spoofed on, came on, and I couldn't remember the actual lyrics, but this came in my head.
There was someone I could call.
John DeCoste ruining popular music across America.
WGN Hotline.
Come on, you know the words.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
We are very fortunate to have my friend Dr. Kevin Most here this morning. I called Kevin last night, and we connected with Doc. He's a very busy guy, but it also helps you out a meeting downtown. But we have a big medical study that comes out. And unlike every medical study that comes out every couple of days, this one affects a lot of people because it's on heartburn.
Yep. But I want to make sure that everyone knows that I'm not feeling well today because I just heard it was going to be 61 on Friday. So I got to start teeing it up now for why I called sick on Friday.
We'll get you out in 10 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's perfect.
So how did we even know by percentage how many people in this country claim to have heartburn symptoms?
Well, you know, about one out of every five people are going to have heartburn symptoms at least once a week. And those are ones that are reported that have gone to see a physician. So we really feel that that number is much higher in the United States and continues to grow, mainly because of some environmental things that we do to ourselves.
Bad diets.
Bad diet, overweight, tobacco smoke, alcohol use, you know, all those things.
Coffee.
Chocolate, unfortunately, even though I said it was good earlier in the week. I'm going to take that back a little bit because it can cause heartburn.
Moderation and depending on your personal circumstances for everything. So
Correct. This
study that came out was about, apparently there are two classes of antacid/heartburn drugs.
Correct. There are two groups of drugs, one that are called H2 blockers and one are called PPIs, proton pump inhibitors. A study came out in 2007 that showed the H2 blockers may have an increased risk of dementia. So we switched over a lot of people to the PPIs. And now, unfortunately, the study out of Germany shows that people over the age of 75 who are on this for more than 18 months have a 44% chance.
That's
higher.
That's a huge number.
It's very high.
So we're talking about Prilosex, the Prevacids, the Nexiums, all of those, right?
Correct. And that's the difficult part. You know, when drugs like that are on a prescription basis, then the physician has a good control in being able to educate the individual as to why they're going to take them off that medication and why they're going to change it. Unfortunately, these are over-the-counter, and you see enough direct-to-consumer advertising that people are going out and buying these. Now, they're not going to be watching. If they didn't watch the news or they don't read a medical journal, they're going to miss this story, and you're going to see people continue to take these medications, and it's going to be at an increased risk.
Well, that's why I thought it was very important to talk to you today, because on the heels of this, it's a legitimate study, and we need to let people know about it so they can ask their doctor, and they can also take, if they're taking the OTC version, the over-the-counter version, you know, maybe pay attention to what it says on the box. No more than 14 days. And other than that, you got to do lifestyle stuff, right?
Absolutely. And really, it does come down to lifestyle stuff. And, you know, a lot of countries don't have much heartburn at all, but we unfortunately continue to have it. And it's just, like I said, continuing to grow.
And as I'm working my morning Diet Coke here, right?
Yeah. And well, I guess
you got the coffee. I've got the Diet Coke. No. I mean, we all have our thing.
No, I have water today, to be honest with you. I haven't had coffee since I was in medical school.
I thought you were a coffee guy.
No.
What do you do to wake up in the morning?
My alarm.
And then you're good to go?
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. It's a miracle. No, seriously, I mean, I'm hooked on the Diet Coke, the caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't do the coffee, so somehow we all rationalize, and then you, Captain Health over here. What are you, a doctor? So the Prilosex, the Prevacids, all of those. Let's say you are, you know, 30, mm-hmm. 40, 50, 60, whatever. You're not 74,
yep.
And you're taking them routinely. What sort of risk are we running on that?
We don't know right now, but because this study actually showed the people over the age of 75, but we don't know. And these drugs are used a lot. This is tens of billions of dollars are spent on PPIs and H2 blockers. A lot of people take them for preventative measures. They've had ulcers in the past, and their physician puts it on them to treat the ulcer and then also to prevent an ulcer. So I personally take Zantac every day because of my ulcer. I can't take aspirin and aspirin-based products, so I do this to protect the lining of my stomach. And It is. It's actually fascinating physiology when you understand what's going on in the body as far as the digestive tract and ulcers and heartburn, and we can talk about that.
And the Xantax versus the Prilosex versus the whatever, how do you know which one's safer or better for you?
You really don't, and it kind of goes back and forth between people, which one's going to work better for them, which one are they going to be able to take just once a day. And both of them decrease the amount of acid in your stomach. And that's the problem with heartburn, is that the acid that is supposed to stay in our stomach, that muscle right at the bottom of our esophagus that's supposed to stay tight, loosens up, unfortunately, and acid gets up into the esophagus where we don't have that protective lining, and that's why we get that discomfort.
And is the obvious assumption here correct in that the reason older people have more heartburn is because it's like everything else, that loosening of that,
correct,
that valve?
Correct.
Is it a valve?
It's a muscle.
The loosening,
yep,
of that muscle just goes,
mm-hmm,
with age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Do we have a workout plan for that muscle?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, people notice it, you know, even when they're eating, sometimes it's a little difficulty swallowing. The bad part is we still have to treat this illness, because acid, as it gets up there into that esophagus, causes inflammation, can actually cause some forms of cancer, can cause some problems. So,
and esophageal cancer is a nightmare, right?
It is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah. All right, so here's what we need to do. We'll come back after traffic. Doc will tell us about the lifestyle changes. I know, that's the part you don't want. Here come your vegetables. The lifestyle changes we all need to make. At 312-981-7200, if you want to jump in, I'll try to get to your question here related to this. It's Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. It's 7:49. Dr. Kevin Most is here, Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. We're talking about this gigantic study that came out. That is pretty scary stuff for older folks in particular who are taking daily or therapeutic antacids over the counter or as a prescription thing. Before we get to that, what's the kidney disease part of this?
Well, yeah, that study came out probably 3 or 4 months ago that showed that people on PPIs have an increased chance of chronic kidney disease as well.
And that's any age?
Yeah, it's any age. And those are the ones that are probably a little bit more concerning. Long-term kidney illnesses where you end up on dialysis or you end up with poor kidney function that has to monitor how even you take other medications is very disturbing. So it really takes a great educated person to talk to their physician about this. And that's probably, like I said, the biggest concern is that these medications are over-the-counter. And unless you really know and go and study that, boy, I can have kidney disease from this. I should talk to my doctor about the pros and cons. I could have dementia if you have a senior over the age of 75 taking these, increased risk. So drugs that we thought used to be very, very safe do have some problems that we need to be aware of.
And, you know, this is a frustration, too. And you know this because you hear this from patients all the time. They go, well, one study says this, and then the next study counteracts that. What am I supposed to do? It really comes down to treating the individual you in your circumstances, right?
It does. And, you know, and different people have different risk factors. So if that same person is a smoker, if that same person has a propensity for kidney disease, boy, that's not a person I'm going to put on a PPI or an H2 blocker. I'm going to treat them with Tums and other antacids or, like you said, lifestyle changes. So it really does come down to awareness of the medication, the side effects of the medication, and the potential long-term consequences.
What is GERD?
GERD is reflux disease. So essentially,
so it's
heartburn.
Acid reflux?
Exactly.
All right. So Chris calls, and I'll just jump in here and do this, the alternative if you have GERD.
Yeah. So the alternatives for GERD are a few. One of them is very simple lifestyle changes. Elevate the head of your bed. Before we had H2 and PPI blockers, we would tell people, go get a cinder block, put the head of your bed on a cinder block, and let gravity help you keep that acid in your stomach. The other things we would look at is look at your weight. We want to make sure people that are obese are going to have a higher propensity for this, mainly just because of their anatomy. And then we're going to look at foods, too. We're going to tell people, don't eat an hour before you go to bed. Eat well before. Get more into that European where you're going to have the larger meal in the middle of the day and a smaller meal in the evening so that you don't have this large amount of food in your stomach that's going to cause this acid.
What about exercise? I mean, exercise relates to weight, obviously, but is exercise helpful in regards to the biology of this or the moving things in the proper way?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Some exercises can actually make it worse. So as you try to build your core, you put a lot of pressure on the stomach, you can actually have an increased chance of this while you're exercising. But exercising really won't have any effect in the long term Matter of fact, it may help you at least keep some of your weight down.
We take a walk after dinner kind of thing?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be great. That's going to help your digestive tract. That's going to move food through quicker. And then it won't have that large, what we call, bolus of food sitting in your stomach.
Maria has a 16-year-old that takes Pepcid AC. Is that a problem?
Well, it depends. Again, why is she taking it at the age of 16? What symptoms is she having, and can we do something else about it? You know, people have stomach problems, and they take these medications, and sometimes they take them without getting evaluated. I'm a perfect example. I took baby aspirin when my brother had a heart attack. 3 weeks later, I had a bleeding ulcer. If I had not known what to look for,
yeah,
I would have been in a world of hurt. So just putting yourself on medication without knowing what you're treating is probably not a great idea.
What role do probiotics play in this, if any?
Probiotics, probably not a lot. Probiotics work more in the further down in the digestive tract to help you with absorption of some nutrients, more in the small intestine and large intestine than they work in the stomach.
Let's see. Does this include omeprazole? Isn't that Prilosec?
Correct.
So it would, obviously.
Yes, it does.
All right. And again, for people that turn on the radio late, the study we're referring to in the kidney section of this are two separate conversations. The study that came out yesterday is for people approximately what age?
75 and older. Yep.
And for people that take those sorts of drugs regularly.
Proton pump inhibitors, and they were taking them greater than 18 months. Yep.
All right. As usual, I've got a funky text situation here, but let me scroll through this as fast as I can. What about liquid Maalox and Mylanta? They seem to have disappeared from the market a few years ago.
Well, you know, people got away from them because of the hassle of doing it, because now you can do chewables. So you just saw the consumer wanting to go more to something easier to use, something that they can keep in their pocket, keep at their bedside. So, you know, the chewable Tums, the chewable Maalox and Mylanta are very much more popular. And from a business side of view, it's probably easier to make those and less expensive, and they still have them available.
From the 847, I'm on, is it Asafex?
Asafex?
Asafex would be a different condition. I'm on Asafex for GERD, and I have a family history of dementia. Does that put me at greater risk than those in the study?
It does. You know, I still think that we're looking at long-term effects that we won't know the answers to right now. I think anybody who's on a medication for a long period of time for GERD starts to at least need to have conversations about what else can I do to eliminate this issue. And any long-term medication I think we're going to start to find are still going to have more problems in the long run.
Bad breath because of acid reflux. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, you can even have a hoarse voice or a cough from acid reflux. It comes all the way up to your esophagus. There's other reasons for what we call halitosis or bad breath, but certainly you can. Often people who have GERD will say that they have this foul taste in their mouth after it because the acid does reflux all the way up.
And when we talk about increased possibilities of dementia, people are going Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer's is an umbrella term, right?
Correct.
So would dementia be in under that umbrella?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's see if I can get one more of these texters in here. And if we could just check after the show, Kev, if we could get a worse tech system for actually doing this live on air, that might be helpful for me. Could you ask Dr. Most if I should be concerned about the fact that I've been on prescription omeprazole for 10 years? Again, I don't know that it matters so much about what you've done. It's about what you do now, right?
Correct. You know, and you obviously aren't going to undo anything, and I'm not going to tell all these people to stop taking their medicines. It's definitely a discussion with your physician. Because like I said, people that have it, if you stop taking it, your symptoms are going to come back. So unless you do something about that. And for people who are on it, like myself, I'm not going to stop taking it. Because it's protective for me, where I need to still take a baby aspirin for my heart, this is going to protect my stomach as well, so it allows me to do both. So it really does come down to the reason why you're on it and what your physician thinks about it.
Yeah, so lifestyle changes are all the changes nobody wants to make. You want to be able to eat, especially, you know, if you're under the age of 40,
yep.
You go, well, why can't I have a pizza? Why can't I, you know, go out for ice cream or, you know, Mexican food or whatever?
Well, it's actually interesting you bring it up because tomatoes is one of the big causes of this as well. So it's not necessarily you have to change your eating habits, but I say eat differently and eat smarter. So if you're going to have your pizza, have it at lunch instead of at dinner. You know, if you want to have fried chicken, have it at lunch instead of at dinner. And just make sure that dinner meal is well before you're going to go to sleep and try not to snack before you go to bed.
3 hours before bedtime?
2 to 3 hours is great. To be honest with you, a lot of people eat like 1 hour before bedtime, especially in the winter. They'll eat and then they'll go to sleep, and it just is not good. Plus, it's really not good for your body. You want to get up and move around after you've had that meal.
And an elevated pillow.
Elevated pillow, elevate the head of your bed. That's doing is letting gravity help you.
If you could sleep standing, is that a better bed?
People do. I'll tell you, a lot of people with this really bad end up sleeping in lounge chairs because it's the only place that they can get comfortable. And again, people that are taking that and say, well, can I take Tums? They have to realize Tums is not a preventative medicine, so it's not like you can take Tums in the morning and it's going to prevent that at night. Tums is something where if you have that discomfort, you can take it and it'll eliminate it in real time.
Yeah, and it's not Jellucil. It's somebody asked about Genucil.
Don't you do Genucil? Isn't that the commercials you do?
No, but there's somebody asked about an over-the-counter drug called, I think it's Genucil. You never heard of it?
No.
Okay. And you have an ulcer.
I had.
Yeah, we had this conversation.
Yep.
Yeah. That you woke up at the bottom of your steps one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't know you had an ulcer until you took an aspirin.
My brother had a heart attack at the age of 47, and I thought I was going to be brilliant and start taking aspirin to protect my heart. And little did I know that I was a person that I fall in that small population that can't take aspirin or Advil or any of the NSAIDs.
But you could have bled out.
Yeah. Yeah, the stomach is very vascular.
You like me bringing up this story? Yeah, you seem like you really want to talk about it.
You want to talk about your pulmonary embolism?
Not that
what?
Much, really. Okay. No. Yeah. No, but I'm saying all of this is beneficial for people to hear.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So, well, they could be so sensitive about nearly dying, did you? Thank you, man. I really appreciate
You're
it. Yeah. And good luck today in whatever it is you actually have to do for a living. But thank you for this help. I mean, the audience, really, we're very lucky to have Dr. Most to actually come on this show. Because, frankly, I mean, this is not good for his reputation. But to come on this show and actually provide this kind of information. So don't panic. Just treat yourself better.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.